Happy Easter again to you. Some of these songs they're really tear-jerking songs. They're kind of meant to be that way. And I know what it's like, though. We come here and we are, you know, life is busy and we have a lot of stuff on our minds and it's hard to connect sometimes. We need to pray here and ask God. You know, I was in Matthew most of this week, finished Matthew again, and most of this message is from Matthew. And in about Matthew 8 or so, the disciples were with Jesus. This is right after John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, had been beheaded. What a gruesome thing. For nothing. No good reason, obviously. And so Jesus wanted to get some time away, and they went up, went to a place where he could spend some time alone with the Father, and the crowd saw him, and so his plans were delayed quite a while. And they were there a while. Jesus ministered to the crowd, healing all kinds of people again. And finally it was time for him to go home, and the disciples came up with this idea, said, Lord, send him home now because, you know, it's time for supper. Jesus said, you give him something to eat. And you know the story. The lad had two loaves and some fish, and Jesus blessed it and multiplied it. And really, that's all we bring is loaves and fishes. You know, I have some thoughts to share with you, but I need God to bless it. And you need God to bless it. And then somehow this multiplication thing has to happen where few words minister to everybody. And that has to be a Holy Spirit happening. So would you pray with me? God, I thank you. Thank you so much for your whole plan of redemption. It's just unattainable to even conceive of the amount of thought, the amount of planning, the amount of your love that went into redeeming and restoring us. And so I just ask you, I have some thoughts here, God. I ask you, please, Holy Spirit, minister to us as I recite my thoughts here in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a long time ago, a long, long time ago, off in heaven, God had this idea. He decided to make some creatures who could see his glory, his holiness, his power, his authority, and actually experience it. And there was only one big thing that had to happen for that experience to be really inward. And that was that these creatures had to be able to choose to worship or to deny him. Choose to observe and glorify this creator or choose to say, nope, I've had enough. And you may be thinking that I'm speaking of humans, but I am not. I'm speaking of the angels. God created the angels and he made them to see his glory, his power, his holiness, his perfection, everything wonderful about God. And then sometime along the line, and I can't say someday because there weren't days yet, sometime, oops, there I said time, Lucifer, one of the most gorgeous beings God ever made, powerful being, decided he wanted to be God. He did not want to worship God any longer. He wanted to be God. He refused to worship God. And God banished him from heaven. And a bunch of angels went with him, and never to be able to stay in heaven again. Somehow they're able to go up there somewhere close. I don't know, Job reveals that they go around. But anyway, they've been banished from heaven. But God had another plan, and he made another creature. He made humankind, and he made man in his image. That means that we have the ability to appreciate goodness and joy and kindness, right things. We have an appreciation for it. It's just in us. That is why when you ladies watch a movie that is filled with love, it just wells up within you and you cry. Of course, that's what it's supposed to be. Because you were made in His image. And that is why when you guys watch a movie and some guy finally does something valid and something wonderful, you think, yeah! Because we're made this way. We are made this way. It's like you guys who play video games, you know, if you guys, two of you play the same game and one of you is talking about some creature, what do you call them, some thing on, what do you call it? Yeah, that. And the other person says, oh, yeah, because you're wired that way. You both play the same game. We're made in the image of God. And then God had this Adam guy fall asleep, and He took this bone, and He formed a woman, and He brought them together, and He made them one, and He said, you guys, be fruitful, and you multiply, and you have a job. I have a job for you in the way of getting to know Me and experience all that I am. I have a job for you. You be fruitful, you multiply, you fill the earth, and you rule it, and you subdue it. You make this earth bring Me glory, more glory, more glory, more glory. God's glory is endless. I don't understand how it can be, but I know it is. It's endless. And He brought Adam and Eve into that. Well, Lucifer found out about the creation and he came to the garden. God put Adam and Eve in a perfect world, in a perfect garden, and here Lucifer came and he lied. And he twisted things. And he made it sound like God was holding back on them, and he caused Adam and Eve to rebel, to disobey. The effect of it, of course, was tragic. Lucifer thought he had won. He thought, my kingdom is growing. Little did he know that he was playing right into God's hand. Because one thing that the angels never got to observe yet was God's mercy. They had never known it. They had never needed to know it. Like Luke always says, if you didn't need to be forgiven, you wouldn't. I don't know, how do you say it? If we didn't need mercy, we wouldn't know mercy. If we didn't need to be forgiven, we wouldn't know mercy. And so the display of humanity from the garden until the consummation is a display of God's mercy. And it's Easter, and what I want, here's my theme here this morning that I want to share with you here, is that the cross is about forgiveness, but the grave, the resurrection, is about empowerment, it is about restoration. God did not desire to just forgive you, He desired to restore you. And in some ways, we have it better than Adam did. Adam didn't have the Holy Spirit in him. That's for us. God wants to restore you. And I just want to share with you some quiet time thoughts from this week. Hope it encourages you. It sure does me. First one is in Matthew 12. And I have to tell you, I grew up on a dairy farm, and on a dairy farm, you don't get in much trouble. Not like my classmates who were boozing every weekend and sleeping around. And so I developed this self-righteous attitude. I thought I was better than they. And then there came a day that God just showed me I was a creep. I was wicked. I was a rebel. I didn't even know it. And what I'm sharing with you is that The change, Tim talks about radical salvation all the time. Yeah, it was radical, all right, but it was kind of hard to shed this self-righteous attitude. In other words, I wanted to prove myself to God because that was the way I thought. And I felt so unworthy because I was so unworthy. And then I came across this verse. I don't remember the day I read it, but oh, this was encouraging. I call this the restoration of healing. You need healing. This is the restoration of healing. You need this. I don't have to know you to know that you need healing. Here's the verse. That's actually a quote, I think, from Isaiah. It's spoken about Jesus. A battered reed, he will not break off. And a smoldering wick, he won't put it out. You think your life is a lost cause? Not with Jesus. He is a restorer of our emotional health. He's a restorer of the things that are broken about us, the things we just can't fix. And we think, wait a minute, let me get this right, and then I'll come and join you. And he says, don't try. You'll mess it up worse than ever. You need healing. You need to know a God who is willing to come alongside you in your brokenness. Because that's who he is. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He told the Pharisees, I didn't come to call the healthy. I came to heal the sick. You're sick. And you need to be healed. The cross is about forgiveness. The resurrection is about restoration. God wants to go way beyond just forgiving us. I had this in mind for the longest time. If I could just be forgiven, Yeah. God wants to restore and make you whole. Again, these songs, I tell you, I was in tears for most of them. One of them was about being complete. When before the throne I stand in him, complete. That's it. That's what the resurrection is about. It's about you becoming complete, being restored, better than Adam, perhaps. So I love that, the restoration of healing. Then in Matthew chapter 6, I love this. Oh, I love this. Matthew 6, three times Jesus uses this phrase. He says, your Father who sees in secret will repay you. First of all, what does he have to repay? What do I have that he has to pay me back? I don't have anything but what he gave me. But when I give to him, make do with what he has given me, he sees it even in secret. And I don't know about your life, but I have had so many things in my life that have been hard and nobody knows. Some Sunday mornings are that way. When it's this and 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 this, and I'm wanting to think about this. And nobody knows, but God sees. He sees. This is a restoration of intimacy. In the garden, Adam and Eve enjoyed an intimacy with God. There was nothing between them. And they lost it. They lost it. They died, and they lost it. And in the resurrection, we have a restoration of intimacy. You need to know that somebody significant loves you and is watching you and is watching what you do. There are three things in this chapter 6 that Jesus mentioned. It says in your giving, another is in your praying, and another was in your fasting or your sacrifice. Your sacrifice. Love that. God sees your sacrifice, and if you can connect with this, you can stop bragging. Why brag? Who cares what you think of me? He's watching. In fact, it's better that you don't know the things that I know that are secret. It's just between the two of us. You know, Revelation talks a lot about this, about God being very personal with you. Special stone. Special name, perhaps. Oh, my goodness. Tim was talking about this earlier. This is a real person who is alive right now, who's in this room, who's listening. And he and all the things that Jesus talked about with his disciples, you know, he was faithful with a little thing. He's going to be faithful with much. The New Testament reveals that we're going to judge angels. We're going to rule this place. You. And your intimacy right now is incredibly important. And the resurrection guarantees an intimacy with God. We just need to be private with him. Okay, then I came to Matthew 6, 20 and 21. This is a restoration of hope. A restoration of hope. Very familiar verses, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we're earthy. We live on this place, you know. When Aunt and I do, where's Aunt? Yeah. Oh, there you are. Hi, Aunt. When we do an inspection, it's in my mind. It sort of clutters up my thoughts. Well, I need to do it, and it's a good service, but our treasures can become earthborn if we are not heavenborn in our minds, and we need to come back and review. But as I thought about this, the question that I had when I read this week is, okay, so God, where is my treasure? What is it that I treasure? Where is it? And I don't know that I came to a real clear conclusion, but I started thinking about where it should be. And immediately, the first thing I thought of, you guys, I am so proud of many of you. At least half the church has joined Tim and me in these quiet times. At least 5 days a week, quiet time. I have such great hope. I know that God is a life changer. He's the radical one, and he will change, but we have to get his mind in our minds and in our hearts and in our souls, and there's only one way to do it. The scriptures, they got to come in. Where your treasure is, there will your hope be also, or where your heart be also. And it was so easy to think about, you know, Joe and I are doing quiet time together. Joe's had so many good thoughts from Genesis. In this quiet time, I am filled with joy and hope. Where my treasure is, there will my heart be. My treasure is your progress in faith and your anchoring to the living one. And it's happening. We're in a better shape than we've ever been in Lifehouse because so many of you have taken up this challenge to read the scriptures daily. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. It's a restoration of hope, good hope to live by. All right, and then I saw this in Matthew chapter 10. I call this a restoration of fulfillment. Remember, I said in the garden, God told them, "You be fruitful, you multiply, you rule the earth, you subdue it." The whole place was supposed to bring God glory. I don't really know what they were going to do. You know, they could see a plant here, maybe, well, that one might look good over there and bring God glory or something like that. I'm a livestock man. I don't know what they would have done with their livestock. They wouldn't kill them at that time. I don't know. But it brings God glory when livestock are doing well also. I don't know what they were going to do, but God involved them. That's the point. They would have fulfillment as they walked with him, as they did what God put them here to do. And God wants to restore your life. He wants to restore your purpose in life. And here are the verses. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. Not a good enough job just to love dad and mom. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Not the right job to just love our kids. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. This cause is worth losing your life for. And that's what he says. He who has found his life, I'm a dairy farmer. Well, whoopee. Not criticizing dairy farmers. I love every one of them. But it's not big enough. It's not God's desire for me anyway at this time. I left it. And the disciples said the same thing. Lord, we left everything to follow you. Did we lose everything? Jesus said, there is nobody who has left father, mother, sister, brother, fields, homes, everything. But he received many times as much in this life. And, you know, when I was at Iowa State, I started counting once how many farms I dealt with. I don't think I got to 100. I don't know if there's some left yet that I haven't found. But that's what Jesus promised. But the point is that he wants to restore your purpose in life. That every person that you come across on your daily life, every person you have the opportunity to serve and to love, you can love in the name of Jesus Christ. Love to the point of salvation, if possible. Because remember now, God is displaying for these 4,000, 6,000 years, mercy. But the angels haven't known. Ephesians 3 says, our lives are being played out before God and before the angels. They are observing things that they did not know about in the church. Mercy is what I'm speaking about this morning. They don't know about mercy until they see it amongst us. And God has given to us this ministry of reconciliation, and it will require mercy. I've been in so many difficult situations, especially at Iowa State. I loved it, but it was hard. There's so many characters. Oh my goodness. Unjust, selfish, self-driven people wanting to promote their own program, and I was sort of the salve trying to hold it all together. I really was in that. I worked with beef, sheep, swine, horse, and dairy, and I felt like I was being stretched in all those directions and like an elastic thing trying to hold it all together. It was awful. But it was wonderful. There were people. And on my heart are some of those people. And I'm just saying that God has given us a fulfilling mission. I left Iowa State to come up here for a new chapter in this mission of advancing the glory of God, of advancing the mercy of God, and advancing the fulfillment and the restoration of life. You know, when Paul was before either Agrippa or Festus or whoever that was, he said he told him the whole message of this life. This is a whole life. It's a message for a whole life. Every smile you smile, let it be to him. The whole message. I think it was that Methodist guy, what's his name again, that wrote that song that we sang? Who is it? Yeah, Wesley, that's right. Wesley had this mindset. He had this mindset. Everything. In fact, I can't even quote it, but he said, do all that you can in every situation that you can with all that you can and all that stuff. That's the thought. God wants to fulfill your life. We have a restoration of purpose, restoration of fulfillment. And along that line, I loved this also. Don't you think that you can be in between? You can't be in between. In Matthew 12, Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. Jesus came to make a division between those who would walk with him and those who would not walk with him. Your life is made to be full. And the only purpose that is fulfilling to the degree that God wants it to be, to fill you up, is His purpose. You know, we're going to go door to door again here for the at least the sixth time, and hang out door hangers here in a couple of weeks. And we've done this before, but you know what? People get saved. Did you hear that? People get saved. Don't you think that you're just walking in the door and hanging a door bag and walking back to the car? You are doing the work of God. He who does not gather with me scatters. You can't have a middle ground. That's what the resurrection is about, is the fulfillment of your purpose. And I better move on here. I have, hope I don't miss one. Then I began thinking about Romans 8 for some reason. I don't remember how I got there. I think I'll just close on this one. God wants you to have a fulfillment. The resurrection guarantees you a fulfillment of sufficiency, of love. And this verse is in Romans 8, verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? What struck me with this verse, like Tim was saying in John there, this kind of was a new thing for me. I just noticed that sometimes we think that God is the one who's kind of off, uncommunicative, and stoic. And Jesus, the image of God, he's the loving one. Did you catch this? He, that is God the Father, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up. This is saying that it was God's plan. This was saying it was God's idea to give up his own son. What did he have in mind? You. Your fulfillment. Your forgiveness, yes, but your fulfillment. Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 are all about you being complete again, whole, sufficient in Christ. In the garden, what did they have? Everything they needed. Everything. No need. It was all there. And God wants, through the Holy Spirit, to be in your heart, in your soul, to the degree that you experience sufficiency. You experience the love of the Father who did not spare his own son because he was looking at you. He wanted to love you. He wanted to restore you. The cross is about forgiveness. Absolute, complete forgiveness. We sang about it this morning. But the resurrection is about fulfillment. It's about restoration. It's about empowerment. What we've been talking about from Ephesians for quite some time. It's the Spirit wants to empower you and me. And so this is my celebration this morning. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much. Oh, God, you are just amazing. I mean, we are lower than the angels, and yet you have exalted us above them. What a great dichotomy. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We get to see a picture of it in our own lives. Without your mercy, we just don't know you even. I wouldn't have come to know you apart from your mercy. I ask you, Father, that we would be able to sense your sufficiency toward us. That is, if you didn't spare your own son because you were focused on us, surely you'll do everything else also. God, I pray for us here that we would determine to stay the course with you, to let you day by day by day speak to our souls and challenge us and reprove us and correct us and train us. We might bring you endless glory. It's our desire. We ask you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.